and welcome to the Sparkles and Sports podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Ray, and today we're going to be talking about the inequities and expectations regarding working wives and mothers in the sports industry. On this episode, as in all future episodes, I will be referencing one of the wonderful articles seen on sparklesandsports.com. So today's article is titled A League of Extraordinary Women, and it was written by one of our co-founders, Olivia, and it's from August 2nd, 2016. In the article, Olivia interviews three women in different levels of collegiate athletics and discusses their journeys to attempt and to obtain the ever-elusive work-life balance. And before we get into it too far, I always think it's important to point out that when talking about topics like this, we are usually speaking in generalities. So, of course, not every work environment is the same, and not every man's experience fits the one we'll talk about today, and not every woman's experience will fit it either. So, with that being said, like I mentioned, Olivia talked to three different women, both working in college athletics, and one of the common threads that she mentions first among those three women she interviewed is the idea that the values and the ideals that drive the sports industry make it really easy to throw yourself into your career when you're single and you don't have kids. And for instance, if you work in this industry, you know, and if you don't and you're just a listener, you're thinking about getting into this industry, if you're in the beginning or the middle of your career especially, it is usually very highly rewarded and often expected for you to work as many hours as possible. This industry really does see that as kind of paying your dues, working your way from the ground up. Those dues can be things like extreme and sometimes even like way over the top hours. And a lot of it is because your work demands it of you. But I have seen it where some of these hours are kind of work just to prove that you are there and to show your face and put in the time alongside your peers. And these peers can often, especially for women, be seen as competitors, especially when there are still such limited amount of roles and type of roles that women are readily accepted in the sports industry. And one woman that I work with, she is, I think, in her mid-20s, early 20s. She describes it as she just doesn't have the time or the desire to have a boyfriend because she is dating her job right now. And she likes it that way. She wants it to be that way right now. And I say more power to her. When you're a single woman with no kids, no husband, nothing really pulling you home every night, that stage of your career can be really exciting because you can really put everything you have, your time, your energy, your focus into forwarding yourself and forwarding your career. It can also be rewarding because this is often when folks around you first start to notice your work ethic because you are putting in such time and effort. They notice your dedication, and many times your first promotion happens during this stage of your career, which is always exciting. But what happens when your personal lives move on to the next stage? That's an interesting question. And a lot of the women that I've talked to through this podcast or through other work that I've done are similar to my age in that they're about to make a life change, or they're about to get married, they're about to have children, or they're thinking about it. So it's an interesting question to think about. You know, a lot of us are finding that special someone, we're trying to have kids, and that's when I think the bulk of the inequities between men and women and our experiences really start to stand out. So I think the next phenomenon is an interesting one as well. All three of the professional women working in sports that Olivia mentions in the article, this is a quote, had the support and backing of their departments or their administration when they wanted to start a family. And I think that's interesting. They are all three referencing an idea that was personally true for me as well and so many other women in sports that I know. Women who are about to get married or are thinking seriously about having kids often go to their superiors or their leaders of their department and feel like they have a need to get like a weird permission or give notice about their impending life changes. And I think it's relevant to stop and think about that for a second. Do the men in our workplace get this weird permission or tell their bosses ahead of time if their wives are about to have a baby? I don't know the answer to that, but I can hazard to guess it's not very often in, when you talk about how many women are doing the same thing. But why is it necessary in this industry for women? So I think that's a good question to ask. Is it chicken or the egg? You know, what's coming first? Is it because the women are feeling like we need the permission in order to reassure ourselves that our careers will survive the change that it's that's about to happen once we become mothers? Is it something we're needing, or is it something we feel like our workplaces are needing from us? So I think that's an interesting question to start with. We could possibly feel this need for approval from our higher-ups because, according to a 2015 Washington Post article that I found, a third of Americans think that the most ideal situation for kids is one in which their mother is not employed. So think about that. 33% of Americans think that kids are better off without a working mom. And if you happen to work for one of those 33% of Americans, if you're thinking about having kids or starting a family, your life's about to get harder, right? Because they don't necessarily think that you should be doing that while keeping your job. I recently had an interaction with a man, and I want to say right out there first that this is not a man that I work with, but someone that I had to interact with while I was working. And he saw me handling a team travel situation at my job, while I was also caring for and currently physically bottle feeding my daughter. And I should mention before I go farther with the story, during this trip, this work trip that I was working on, several women stopped me that day or over the course of that trip and congratulated and supported me for juggling it all, for feeling like I could, for feeling like I should, for doing it without blinking, for just being the type of person who didn't even question whether I could or I should bring my baby on a trip or even have the gall to have my job while having a baby. And I loved that. I thought, wow, it feels so great to be acknowledged, especially by other women who get it. So I should say that and put that out there first, that while I had a negative experience I'm about to tell you about, women really had my back during this time. But anyway, so I had this transaction with this gentleman who, again, not a coworker at all. I'm very supported by my coworkers, but this gentleman who was watching me do my job, he questioned why my place of work would even let a woman be in charge of anything when I had a baby with me. And while this gentleman was of a generation before me, it still shocked me how he just expected or didn't think it was the norm or just couldn't get used to watching a mom with a baby but also being in charge of something. It wasn't that he thought I was distracted. He literally just didn't like that I was holding my child while I was in charge of something. Those were his words, and those struck me. And hopefully no one you have to transact with on a daily basis feels like that about you, especially your boss or the people around you at work, because if they were as extreme as this man I transacted with, you know, things can be so hard for you. But even if your boss isn't that extreme, perhaps they do have an opinion on how your job status as a mother should or shouldn't affect your job. And either way, a new mom, especially in the sports industry, often has to juggle the expectation of being at every doctor's appointment, running the family errands, and generally, again, not always, we have a heavier portion of domestic duties, all while trying not to let any of that take a single second away from work. Now, why is it that we feel like none of this can take a single second away from work and all the hours that we used to spend? We don't feel like we can let that change once we're a wife or a mother. Why is that? Two reasons, if you ask me. Number one, FOMO. Number two, competition. So, number one, FOMO, that's an acronym, the fear of missing out. Now, usually when you hear moms talk about FOMO, you are associating it with just hating that you're missing out on stuff at home, like milestones with the baby, or extracurricular activities that you might be wanting to see or take your kids to. But for the sake of this conversation, FOMO can really rear its ugly head in the opposite direction as well. And what I mean by that is when a mom commits to never missing activities at home, it often means that they are adjusting the extra time they used to spend at work. And that means we're not getting as many opportunities maybe for growth at work because we're not there as much as we used to. We're not being seen in the office as much. And that presents also the possibility of falling behind at your work, but also then falling behind in your career as a whole, definitely in comparison to those women who are not juggling families or husbands or significant others. And that's where FOMO kind of turns into competition. Your peers at work, who have always seemed like family, and they should, can sometimes feel like competition once you have your own family. All of a sudden, they are more available than you. They are more flexible than you. They can seem more committed than you because they're there more often. They are less needy than you because you don't need more flex time or time off or to jump to a doctor's appointment. And they are seen possibly as more dependable than you because you're here and there and everywhere. All of that can make you seem like, or make you in actuality, a less desirable option to employers when they're talking about promotions, opportunities, or raises. So all of that can really lead to a feeling of competition between you and your peers, especially your peer women, who haven't gotten to that point in their personal lives. So let's turn now to a more positive note. I do think that attitudes toward working women may be getting a bit more accepting as time goes on. And I did mention how supportive a lot of women were when they were watching me juggle my baby and my job on a road trip. More and more employers across industries also are offering things like flex time and the ability to work from home part-time. But in general, the sports industry can be a very traditional place, one that does things the, quote, way we've always done it. And sometimes it's also an industry that rewards habit, not change, especially if a woman works for a man, or a woman for that matter, to whom this sort of flexibility was never offered during their coming up phase. You know, if the person you're working for sees it as, I put my time in, no one gave me this flexibility, I made it work, they often don't have the initiative to offer those things to their employees. The industry has a long way to go as a whole, if you ask me, if we're going to offer the same understanding to working moms as other parts of the workforce and other industries do. So, kind of wrapping up, the last thing I want to throw out there on this topic is a call for change and expectations. In an article on CreditDonkey.com, I read that only 13% of full-time working moms think that their status as a mom who works full-time is an ideal situation for their child. Somewhere in there is some serious mom guilt, I think. I think there has to be with that stat. You can really only read that statistic as women struggling to balance their desire and sometimes their need to have a career with what society is telling them is right, which is supposedly raising our children at home by ourselves. And this is just something that men generally don't have to wrestle with. They don't have to wrestle with, is this an appropriate choice for my child to work or to stay home, or the guilt that comes along with that. If we use my life as an example, many of the men that I work with are lucky enough to make enough money to have their wives stay home and raise their children. It's basically the norm for the men in my office. Now, before I go any further, I want to say I highly respect all the fathers in my office because they work way more hours than I do based on their job description, and they miss out on a lot with their kids. So I am definitely not saying there's no trade-off here. It's only fair to say that the men I work with sacrifice a lot of time with their families based on how demanding their job is. That being said, those men generally do have the luxury of their wives being able to take the kids to the doctors every time and extracurricular activities. And I'm sure that those men want to be there, but it is more acceptable for a mom to show up without a dad at the doctor than it is for, say, a babysitter without either parent or a dad without a mom. When I'm on a work trip, for instance, let's think about it this way. I'm doing my job and also being the primary caretaker for my daughter. My husband is there and he is more supportive and empowering than I could have ever asked for in a husband. So this is not a reflection on him or how he helps me, but face it, I'm still a mom. I'm still the mom. So while I'm doing my job, I'm also physically doing work. I'm changing a diaper while literally texting someone about, when we're taking off on a plane. We're doing all of those at the same time. But when my pale peers are on a work trip, again, although their hours are more demanding than in terms of what they're doing and how long they're doing it on these trips, but it is more acceptable for them to not have to handle the hour-to-hour care of their kids while traveling with us. And what my point is there's an acceptability of them kind of taking a step back on these trips from their kids, even though their kids are on the trip too, where it wouldn't necessarily be as acceptable for me to take that step back with my kid. But I still have to do the work, just like they still have to do the work. So in general, men are not necessarily parenting and working at the same time like a lot of women are. And it is definitely true that many strong women have just as strong and supportive husbands, like I said regarding mine. However, it is not necessarily the norm for a majority of women working in this industry to have stay-at-home fathers or husbands. That is not yet something that is socially acceptable on a large scale. And the majority of women working in this industry in sports aren't making a salary that can support a one working parent household. So, where does that leave us? I want to say overall, Olivia's article and all my rambling today was meant to shine light on all that women who want to have a family have to consider and deal with daily when working in sports. In summation, I think society needs to give working moms a break. But I also think we need to give ourselves a break. So let's not judge women who have their nannies take kids to doctor's appointments here and there. Let's take it easy on ourselves as well on the occasional day when work wins over family. Think about that for a second. Let's take it easy on ourselves on the occasional day when work wins over family. And maybe, just maybe, let's try to enlighten the men around us at work as to all that we juggle daily just to keep our worlds, and let's face it, their worlds spinning. For more information related to working moms in sports, check out the upcoming works on the topic by Sparkle and sports writer Morgan Romans. You can find that and all of our content at www.sparklesandsports.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Sparkle and Sports Podcast.